I hope you all enjoyed lunch. And we now move on to item 7, which is questions to executive members. There will be a time limit of 1 hour for questions to executive members under Standing Order 8(7C). Each member asking a question shall have a maximum of 1 minute to ask the question and 1 minute to ask a supplementary question. Each member responding will have 2 minutes to respond to the question and 2 minutes to respond to any supplementary question. And I would like members to note, please, that the audio recording of this item of business, which is questions to executive members, will be placed on Hearts Direct with a link from the minutes so that the questions and answers are available to all. And I'm confident the universe will listen with interest. So, firstly, for the Leader of the Council, we've got item 7A, questions to the Leader of the Council. Is there a question from a Liberal Democrat member? A Labour member? Leon.
Chair, thank you. Can I ask the Leader of the Council, in view of the bit of confusion regarding scrutiny that we've had today and leading up to today, specifically with regards to the Constitution. And there is to be, I think, some... the Chief Legal Officer has said that she is minded to ask somebody to look at the way that we dealt with the constitutional problem. There are, it seems to me and members of my group, there are other issues around... some of the vagaries of the Constitution, the way it deals with things, specifically with the freedom of information. Could I ask the Leader of the Council if and when he decides, like, with the Chief Legal Officer, to appropriately look at this particular issue of the Constitution and changes, making changes to it, that he would also look at other issues that I've mentioned regarding freedom of information and other...
Leon, I'm afraid you've had your minute. Thank you very much indeed.
Sorry, Chair, I thought it was 2 minutes.
I call the Leader of the Council to answer.
I suspect that I have as little idea about what Leon was talking about as he does, but the simple answer, Leon, we have regular meetings of the group leaders. Each leader is invited to put any item they want on the agenda. If there are some issues that you feel about the Constitution, that's the best place to start it. I'm very happy to discuss it with you in that forum.
I thank the
a supplementary.
I thank the leader for that, Chair. But I, the reason I asked the question, and it's come after our group leaders' meeting, is that a constituent of mine contacted me to say that he'd had some concerns with regards to Freedom of Information Act, Freedom of Information request that he'd put in, and that the results, the responses were pretty vague and somewhat evasive. And he asked me to have a look at the situation and bring this up with you at this meeting.
Well, again, I'm happy to discuss it in group leaders' meeting. I don't think I carry personal responsibility for freedom of information issues. I'm sure the Chief Legal Officer will be happy to discuss any concerns you have as well, Leon. Yeah, but full council is hardly the place to have that discussion.
Thank you. Is there a question from a Conservative member? Then we move on to adult care and health. Questions to the Executive Member for Adult Care and Health. Is there a question from a Liberal Democrat member? Ron Tindall.
Thank you. Given the announcement of the delay of implementation of the second part of the Care Act because of the refusal of the government to fully fund the change, would the Executive Member agree with me that this late decision has caused the administration and necessarily and the officers a necessary amount of work, including the setting up of recruitment, which is now no longer needed, and also a loss of valuable time and money?
Colette.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I would agree with you that the announcement that this was going to be delayed has been a surprise. However, in fact, I do welcome it. The proposals were very complex, and we are, as you may know, one of our officers has been involved in leading the national work on this. And I would far rather that we took a pause. Again, the LGA, which is a cross-party organisation, did put this very strongly to the government, that there needed to be more time. Perhaps we got a little more time than we anticipated. But because this is such a complex and evolving situation, which also involves self-funders as well, and the expectation that the private insurance market would step in and formulate a package that would be of assistance to residents nationally. That hasn't happened, and I believe that it's a right decision, because I'd rather we got it right, because it is too important to so many people at the end of their lives with a finite amount of money to fund their care. So, yes, it was a surprise. Yes, we will work with it. The work that has already gone on is not wasted. Good work is never wasted. It can always be used. And we will be supporting the developments and adding to them and making sure that when that does come forward, it is the right product.
Thank you very much. A supplementary from Ron.
Would the portfolio holder agree with the statement from the LGA chairman, who said that if both the reforms and the care system were fully funded, a delay would not have been necessary?
It's always quite easy to make that sort of comment with hindsight, and I would suggest that the work that we are doing now will help this county in particular sustain its work, and we will be wanting to share that work nationally. But I do believe that the current approach is the right one, given the financial circumstances and the stage that we are at in development of those forward plans.
Thank you. Is there a question from the Labour member? Thank you. Amanda.
Thank you, Chair. My question is also to do with the five-year delay on the implementation of the care cap. The decision to delay came as a result of a nationwide campaign by local councils due to, quote, the enormous pressure they were facing. I want to ask the portfolio member if this authority was part of that campaign to push for the delay. Thank you.
Colette.
Naturally, as members of the LGA and also as members of ADAS, the Association of Directors of Adult Social Services, we would have been aware of and involved in those discussions. Whether they impact on this council or not in the same way, I would not concur completely with that, and I would suggest that the councils that were suffering the most from the financial pressures were those that had not taken the many opportunities over the past few years to transform the services that they have delivered. As a substitute member on the Community Wellbeing Board, where this was discussed on many occasions, it became quite apparent that some councils on that board were not as well prepared as we were. And as a body, the suggestions we put forward would have been on behalf of the whole of that membership. It doesn't mean that these strictures apply equally to all members of that association.
Thank you. A supplementary? No. Is there a question from the Conservative side? Then we move on to Children's Services. Is there a question for the Executive Member from the Liberal Democrat Group?
There is.
Mark Watkin.
Thank you, Chair. In view of this morning's discussion, I found that the Executive Member's paper to this panel, Council, remarkably interesting. So I want to ask the Executive Member to explain to me and all councillors in this chamber how the Council will be able to reduce the growth in troubled families, ensure that children's centres continue to be rated as good or outstanding in what they have been required to do, and ensure that the Families First programme, which is all about early intervention, will be achieved once the Home Start Home Visiting Service has been withdrawn.
Thank you. Richard Roberts.
Thank you, Mark. You want all that in 30 seconds? Blimey. Okay. Let's be blunt. Let's be clear about something. Home Start is not going to deliver that. What is going to deliver that is a coordinated early years programme badged under Family First, which will link early years, children's centres, thriving family programme and the new innovative family safeguarding programme. That is what's going to deliver it. At supporting that, and I would say an important part of that, will be the contributions of our wider communities, and including our voluntary sectors and charitable organisations, of which Home Start is one, which we value and we are agreed provide valuable assistance in the round. But that is how it's going to be delivered. And I am absolutely delighted that we have got a new, re-energised, re-evaluated, but most importantly, recontracted children's centre programme, which is going to reach out to the most vulnerable families, which is going to link through to the more to the health visitors, of which there are more, and who are going to coordinate even closer when they come to the County Council in the autumn. That the Thriving Family Programme succeeded, in fact exceeded expectations, with more than 100% of outcomes on its achievements over the last 2 years, which we're buying into over the next 5 years through to 2020. We believe that that programme, that Troubled Families programme, which we have rechristened Thriving Families, gives the kind of support where it's needed, when it's needed, that will actually reduce the number of children and families failing and the number of children coming through into the care system. And it's already working. The ECAF system, which captures the information about families who are struggling, which is now at 5,200. That, as a result of that, there are fewer referrals coming through to the most expensive safeguarding services. And long may that continue. Thank you for your question, Mark.
Brilliant timing. Now, is there a supplementary?
There is indeed. Yes, that's all very impressive. But if you actually look and talk to the children's centres and the health visitors, have they got the same enthusiasm and belief in what you're saying? The evidence that we've gleaned from this side is that they don't. They cannot see how they're going to be able to provide this wonderful world you're describing, and which, believe me, I would like to see occur. So what is your suggestion for how you get the message across to this community?
Nothing is set in stone permanently. Just because we've got new contracts in place for children's centres doesn't mean that we then leave them to their own devices for the next 3 years, turn up and say, right, how have you done? I have asked, and I gave you the answer, came out in the debate this morning, that I've asked for a six-monthly review of not only what children's centres are achieving, but how they are working with partners and stakeholders. And that will include health visitors, but it will also include other aspects of health, but it may well include Job Centre Plus, for example. I mean, it almost ties into the devolution debate we were having earlier. It's about that rationale that we will use the totality of our resources in Hertfordshire to make the biggest difference for the most number of people. And where you need targeted resource, we'll really make sure that we've got the expertise linked as clearly as possible, signposted as clearly as possible. I think actually this autumn, with health visitors transferring to public health here in the County Council, to deliver that Healthy Child Programme, which is linking into the Family Nurse Partnership and other aspects, school nurses, for example, I think that's quite an exciting project, and I think will help us to galvanise the totality of that effort around supporting not just our most vulnerable families, but the universal offer as well, but most specifically our most vulnerable families. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Is there a question from the Labour Group? Nigel Bell.
Yeah, Richard, back to children's centres on 5-2 again, and I welcome the fact, obviously, that Ofsted has released the March data, and you now cover all the children's centres in Hertfordshire, and I think there's only 10 centres, children's centres, not had an inspection to date. And you do say, obviously, that following the recommission of the centres, the new contracts with new children's centre providers commenced in April with no significant problems. Can you assure me, though, that after our debate this morning, if... And on top of the fact that you're giving this £200,000 to Home Start to tidy over, if problems do arise, or if it does seem as if we really do need extra resources, that you will provide extra resources over and above that £200,000.
Richard Roberts.
I'm glad you welcome the progress made in the. In the ability and the achievement of the children's centres. Most of that inspection applies to before
retendering of contracts, and I hope it continues well above national average, well above the regional average, going absolutely in the right direction. In terms of transition, I think I was quite clear about that this morning. That is to tease out how we can best support the volunteers, the families who are currently being looked after by Home Start contracts, and Home Start itself, for example, giving them the opportunity to bid for further money. And that's what that money's for. But I think, bearing in mind that we've got a 20% increase in the number of children up to the year 2020, an order of expansion of that, is a huge increase in the number of children in the county. It wouldn't at all surprise me that we may have to reprioritise where exactly the public pound goes. And again, I think that refers back to the answer I gave earlier, which is nothing is set in stone, nothing stays the same. We have a very, very dynamic demographic in Hertfordshire at the moment. The population is expanding, we've got more children, we've got more older people. Those put tremendous pressures on all of our systems. And I think it will be up to all of us to understand the rationale about how we do allocate our finances. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there a question from the Conservative side? In that case, let's move to community safety and waste management. Is there a question from the Liberal Democrat side? Nick Hollinghurst.
Thank you very much indeed. Richard Thake, Madam Chairman, is not here.
Who's That's going right, to be so I believe this? His questions will be taken by his deputy, Tony Hunter.
Tony, hi there. Madam Chairman, thank you.
Right, the
New
minute
glasses.
Starts now. There we
in
go.
In the report on page 10, 9 and 10, first of all in 9, on the household waste recycling centres, it candidly admits that there have been problems and significant levels of complaint and delay, even though our new contractors have had nearly 8 months to get it right. It says on page 10, I'm continuing to explore all options to improve matters with a focus on more sustainable, longer-term solutions. Can we have some detail on that? And could I ask if Tony Hunter could read Richard Thake's mind and give us the answer?
I call Tony Hunter, who I'm sure is looking forward to
this. Thank you, Chairman. I'd rather not read Richard's mind, if that's quite all right, because at the moment I believe he's at a wedding in Spain. So God knows what he's thinking. And I'm sure it's not waste management. You're perfectly right. We have had some problems with our recycling centres. Prominently, the two that have been most difficult are Hemel and Letchworth. Hemel, we have a solution on the horizon. We have the land, probably be able to fix it in approximately a year's time. The situation with Letchworth is a little different. There is land there to expand it, but unfortunately we haven't got it as yet and aren't able to. But Letchworth actually brings some very interesting problems into the equation. We're finding that people are actually queuing before the actual centre opens. We're also finding, when you drill down the numbers, we've got over 400 people going twice a week. Whether or not it's the interaction at Letchworth, whether it's the place to go, whether or not they're actually enjoying a little shop in the skip, I'm not 100% certain, but we are looking at it. But obviously we need a long-term solution for Letchworth to get the cars off the road, and that's what we're looking at in the moment. But no firm plans as yet.
Thank you. I think there's a supplementary coming.
Indeed, I do thank Councillor Hunter for that response, although most of it is actually on page 9, which I've already read. I did ask him for the details of his plans, or Richard Thake's plans, to improve matters. We've had reference to Letchworth and Hemel, but there are other sites where there's a lot of queuing, and there's other sites where it has become considerably more busy. Not surprising, perhaps, because we've taken 2 days of access out of the week. So I ask again, what are the detailed plans you've got
to
improve matters?
Tony Hunter again.
Thank you kindly. Thank you, Chairman. Detailed plans in the sense that, obviously, like all things when you first do them, and you've said it's been 8 months now, obviously you've got to review, you've got to look at. And I don't think anybody doesn't realise that there's always been problems with some of our recycling centres as far as queuing is concerned. And it's different peaks and troughs during the year. But at the moment, what we're doing is analysing the data and reviewing across the board, and actually then we will have firm detail. At the moment, not the detail that you want to hear.
Thank you. Now I'm asking if there's a question from a Labour member. Maureen Cook.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yes, on page 9, again, the residual waste treatment project. Now we have the decision, and I have to say, obviously, it was an absolutely brilliant decision by the Secretary of State to refuse the planning application for New Barnfield. So we understand from the statement made this morning that a revised project plan has been received, and that obviously it's commercially sensitive information. So really my question is, can we be reassured that the same sort of thing will not happen again, that if any other decisions are made or any other proposal come forward, that it actually takes into account the views of residents and the environment, and it is done for the good of people.
Thank you for your question.
And
I'm afraid a minute passes terribly quickly, but thank you very much indeed for your question.
And can I also ask...
I'm now going to call Tony Hunter. Thank you very much. Thank you very much indeed. Now, I'm going to move on. You'll have another bite next time round. A supplementary. I'm so sorry. I do apologise. Maureen.
Yes, thank you. Thank you for that, and I am aware of that. But my supplementary question is, in view of what's happened so far, I would actually like to ask how much it has cost the County Council to do the exercise, and what you'll be looking at in the future as regards costs to the public purse.
Tony.
Thank you. Actual cost to date, Chairman, I can't give you, and that's something I'd have to look into and come back to.
Thank you very much. Questions from the Conservative side? No? Then we move on to... I'm so sorry, Morris. I didn't quite see it there. I do apologise.
I'll stand on a box next time. Thank you, Madam Chairman.
Thank you.
The changes to the hours, particularly in my area, have worked very well. The only question that does arise, and I get comments about, and I wonder if we could get an answer to this question, is with the number of hours obviously reduced because of the number of days, can we approach the contractors to ensure that the number of times that the centres have to close during the day because swapovers of skips and containers can be kept to a minimum so as not to inconvenience residents who have to queue up on those days?
Tony Hunter again.
Thank you, Chairman. Every effort is, in fact, being made at the moment to actually change skips during out-of-hours periods. But obviously, regrettably, there will be occasions due to the volume that it will happen during the actual working hours. But they're trying to keep those to an absolute minimum.
Supplementary? No. Good. Thank you. So now we move to enterprise, education and skills. And I'm asking if there's a question from the Liberal Democrats. Mark Watkin again.
Thank you very much, Chairman. I'm grateful that the executive member has raised the crisis of secondary schools funding in his report. Can I ask that he write to the Secretary of State supporting our heads, mindful, as I hope he is, that many secondary schools are now effectively running negative budgets by draining their reserves, and in the next 2 years will be facing a perfect storm of increased pension contributions and salary increases, resulting in unacceptable cuts in teachers and teaching assistants and oversized classes.
Thank you. David Williams.
Mark, thank you for your question. The advice that officers gave the schools forum ahead of the general election was that in the event of either a Conservative or a Labour administration coming forward, that schools funding was not going to be ring-fenced in real terms. So I think there was a recognition, whatever was going to happen come May, that schools funding was not going to be ring-fenced. Now, I'm pleased to say that in terms of the amount of money following children into schools, that has been protected. The level of the pupil premium has been protected. But undoubtedly, looking forward now, in real terms, there will be pressures on schools' budgets. Now, one of the first things I did on becoming the executive member was to meet with the head of HASH, the Secondary Schools Association, and also with Alan Gray, who chairs the Schools Forum, and obviously became aware of their plans to meet with local members of Parliament in Westminster. I have been very clear that I've been more than happy to follow up those meetings and write to those individual members if the Schools Forum felt it would be helpful in explaining the particular situation of Hertfordshire schools and the model that we follow with the sixth forms, particularly with the sixth form structure. That offer has been made to Alan. The other important thing that's happening here, though, is the Schools Forum finance team are producing papers for the Schools Forum, which should be published early in September, in terms of how they can help them address the funding issues and the funding challenges that they face, both at the sixth form level, but also at the primary level as well.
Thank you. Do you have a supplementary?
It is just a brief one. You mentioned that you would write to the members of the where the schools are actually based. Would it not be possible and slightly more powerful if you wrote to the Secretary of State for Education?
Mark, I think the most appropriate way for that to be done would be through the LGA. The LGA represents the views of authorities such as ours, and that is the appropriate vehicle for an authority such as this to make its views known to the Department for Education.
Thank you. Now, a Labour member, Judy.
Have you cut me off before I've started? No, you haven't. Okay. There is serious evidence of at least one series of anomalies in our secondary transfer process, which is disadvantaging a large number of families who I represent, who sit equidistant from my own town and the next town, and therefore we've discovered have no priority at any secondary school. Now, in the few short weeks that David's been in charge of this brief, he's been really good at responding to mine and parents' concerns, although the process of appeal has not helped at all in this. He's been really good at getting very detailed technical officer responses to those parents, which refer to matters as such as the flight of birds and distance effects there. But I really would like him to help me to look at, because it can't just affect my division and my town. There must be other anomalies.
Judy, would I'm he so help sorry. Me we need to be succinct with the questions, and I do apologise. Thank you. David.
I think the important thing that I would highlight for all members, and particularly in your situation, Judy, where you've got the particular situation of Hitchin Boys' School and Hitchin Girls' School, is that Most of our secondary schools now are their own admissions authorities. And there is the responsibility, the statutory responsibility that they have to put in place their admissions rules. And so in the case of both the Hitchin schools, they have taken some very positive steps in relation to siblings, for instance. And as a local member for Harpenden, I use their admissions rules as an example in terms of the approach that I would welcome to see locally. So I think members should be aware where responsibilities lie, and if necessary, if they think it's appropriate, engage with the governors of schools in their areas.
Thank you. Judy, did you want to
supplementary? I do have a supplementary, because David's given me that answer before, and it just doesn't fit the anomalies that I'm talking about, and I know that my fellow county councillor in Hitchin, from his facial expressions just now, knows that that is not the answer to the problem. So I'm just asking whether we can set up a process where we can seriously look at this. It's nothing to do with academies, because actually the miserable parents who I've been representing have wanted one of our county maintained schools and not been able to get into any of those of their choice. Thank you.
Thank you. David Williams again.
Well, I can only reiterate that the rules are very clear, and the opportunities for schools to come forward, particularly the academies now, to come forward and amend their admissions codes is within their gift. And the schools, as they're distributed around the priority areas of Hitchin and then swinging into Letchworth, that is an issue that schools can take, where they can take action locally, should they so wish.
Thank you. Now, from the Conservative side, are there any questions? Is there a question? Derek.
Prompted a question from me, actually. And I'm fully aware of the problem that Judy faces, and there is actually a solution. But that solution, in my view, would require this authority to look more radically at its own admissions policies. We're actually faced with a myriad variety now of admissions policies, particularly at secondary schools. The academies are doing their own thing, which is fine, but we have to manage the admissions process on their behalf, and there's a myriad selection of different admissions policies. There is actually no reason at all, that I can see, that we cannot apply that same principle to community schools as well. And I would hope David would accept we might want to look at that.
I didn't quite catch the question, Derek.
Does he not agree?
David Williams.
Derek, more than happy to look at the issue, but we must recognise that this is a statutory process, and there are requirements of us as an authority and requirements of the schools where they are their own admissions authority.
And I'm going to assume there is no supplementary to that. Let us now move on, and Derek gets 2 minutes to answer rather than the 1 minute for the question. Right, we now move to environment planning and transport. Is there a question from the Liberal Democrat member? Chris White.
Thursday evening, Friday morning, there was a severe storm which led to dozens of flooding incidents in my district area and indeed across the county. Flooding has been of concern to me for some time, but I still get the impression that there is blame shifting from highways in relation to gullies and so forth, but also there is difficulty in dealing with Thames Water. Are steps being taken to challenge Thames Water and their scheme of improving storm sewers and other sewers throughout the county, as indeed the population increases and indeed as the runoff increases through developments?
Thank you. Derek Ashley.
Well, of course, once again, this is a question that if you're given notice, we get a more comprehensive answer. I mean, my gut reaction to that is, if not, it should be, and I'll take it up.
And there's no supplementary. Excellent. Are there any questions from the Labour side? Sharon Taylor.
Thank you. I wanted to refer to the portfolio holders report paragraph 4.3 about the A1 consortium meeting. You referred to two particular issues. One is the what's called the managed motorway project, which is hard shoulder running between 6 and 8, and the rather surprising letter that we all had regarding the Highways England strategic study into the A1 corridor. Will you be encouraging Highways England to consult with the panel and indeed instigating a discussion at panel so that the many issues around the A1, junction 6 to 8, reconfiguration of Letchworth Gate, exit at junction 4, and I'm sure there are many other around the county, can be considered and discussed by that panel to inform the Highways England process?
Thank you. Derek Ashley.
Yes, we will endeavour to do so. I have to say, with the Highways Agency Authority, whatever they're called these days, you do get a sense of deja vu. I remember them drawing maps, lines on maps about 20 years ago about improving the A1 north of Radwell to Alconbury, and they seem to be there sort of reinventing the wheel to some extent. But yes, we will encourage them to do so, and we'll be active in trying to maintain a dialogue with them.
Thank you. A supplementary, Sharon?
Can we also ask them to consider the managed motorway, hard shoulder running, as a strictly interim solution? If I lived in Welland Hatfield, and I'd be extremely worried about access to acute hospital services during the times when that hard shoulder running is in place. And I hope we can ask them to consider that as a very interim solution while we look at this strategic study.
Thank you. Derek Ashley again.
I've got sotto voce for my rights, as we've already done that, but I would absolutely agree with Sharon. I mean, the A1 corridor is a major concern to large numbers of members of this authority, not just those who live on the corridor itself. It spills out everywhere, and I've been quoted many times in the past about the rat runs around the A1, but in fact we have rat runs around the rat runs, as Sharon will know, and we should be ensuring, as far as is possible, that the majority of through traffic between the major towns and beyond should actually be carried by the main corridors through the county and not clog up our country lanes and other residential roads.
Thank you very much. Is there a question from the Conservatives? No. So we move on to highways. Is there a question from a Liberal Democrat member?
Yes.
Stephen Giles Medhurst.
Thank you. Is the executive member aware that the failure of Ringway to carry out routine tree and hedge maintenance on highways land has led to increased insurance claims due to damage to walls and property, as well as increased footway repairs due to failure to prune trees accordingly? If he's not aware, will he make himself aware? If he is aware, what is he doing about it?
Terry Douris.
I can't say that I'm aware of specific cases, and I rather suspect that, Stephen, you have a specific case in mind, and if you had accepted my invitation to give me a hint of what you were going to ask this morning, then I would have actually made myself acquainted with the answer that I could give you in the public arena this afternoon. I know that from time to time there will be incidents on the roads. I can't talk of any specific incidents, but what I would say is that I wouldn't say it's a failure. I think sometimes it's a consequence of works being carried out in confined spaces. But I'm very happy, if you'd like to just refresh the question outside this meeting, I will give you a written answer.
Thank you very much. Stephen Giles Medhurst, is there a supplementary?
Yes, there is, Madam Chairman. We've been urged before not to make specific ward issues or points in terms of questions, hence I didn't do so, and I could have been an into question anyway. Given there is concerns, will he now investigate what is being dealt with by the Insurance Claims Department in terms of the failure of Ringway, who have been told to carry out maintenance and they have failed to do so, which has resulted in maintenance claims? Will he now investigate the issue, please?
I'm very happy to investigate the issue because obviously what we want in Hertfordshire is our roads to be as safe as possible to all road users at all times, but obviously we are constrained by finances and the capacity of any contractor to actually undertake all the works as quickly as we might want them to do or they might want to do, but I'm happy to answer the specific question and come back to you.
Thank you very much. Is there a question from the Labour side? Leon Reef.
Chair, thank you. Can I ask the portfolio holder, given the paucity of work at the previous cabinet panel, Highways, or even though it lasted nearly 2 hours. Can I ask him, and the subsequent cancellation of the MAG meeting, I did request from him by email an update on the situation with regards to the repairs to street lighting. I didn't get an answer to that email, and I wonder if he has the information now so that we can all share it.
Thank you.
I think it's well known that at the last meeting and last discussions that we've had, and we've had many meetings, there was an undertaking that I gave that Ringway, that our term contractors, would be performing in the green zone by the end of May. And I was happy to be able to report, and I can report, that at the end of May they were performing at the rate of 98.01%. They are currently performing in June at 98.06%. As at 2 o'clock last Thursday afternoon, there were 129 reported faults that were outstanding, of which 110 of those were within the 20 working days for repair. These are repairs that are faults that are reported by the public. So on that basis, I am pleased to be able to report that Ringway have actually stepped up to the mark. I continued to have weekly meetings with Ringway. I now have monthly meetings with Ringway. I will continue to do so, and I will continue to make sure that I hold them to task to make sure that they actually deliver what they are contracted to do in terms of street lighting. What we have to think about also is the how they perform and what resilience they have going forward to make sure that street lighting continues to operate. But don't forget, and in case you wanted to ask me about LED lighting and CMS, we are now rolling that out and about to enter into phase two of that programme, which has been pretty much universally approved, apart from possibly one road in Rickmansworth.
Thank you very much. A supplementary.
Yes, Chair, thank you. And I thank the portfolio holder for that, and glad to see that he's ploughing ahead with a great Labour proposal on CMS. Can I just say this, ask the portfolio holder this, and thank you for the answer to the question. But it is a serious issue, as he well knows, and what I'm concerned about is not the fact that all these repairs are now up to speed during the spring and summer months, where there is obviously a great deal more light, but the problems, as he well knows, occur during the course of the winter time, when it is important that the streets are well lit, until the lights are turned off, and that they repair the lights during those months too. So what plans does he have put in place, or has he got any plans to put in place to make sure that the work that is being carried out now successfully goes through the winter months as well?
Thank you, Leon.
Without wishing to sound too facetious, we can't actually repair faults until the faults occur. Having said that, I think I can only repeat what I said earlier on, that I am holding Ringway to task to make sure that they have a sustainable work ethos going forward, to make sure that they do not get into, we will not allow them to get into the same condition that they were in, and which was fully reported and mentioned in the annual report quite openly earlier on today. And we will not allow them to get into the same condition. I am pleased to report that they have actually employed a street lighting manager, which will also help. But I know that if I don't deliver and Ringway don't deliver, you will ask me this question time and time again. And I have to say I'm delighted to have been able to wait until nearly 2:30 to have the opportunity to speak in open forum this afternoon or today.
And even the applause was within the designated time. Now, are there any questions from the Conservative side? So we move on to public health, localism and libraries, and questions to the Executive Member. Is there a question from the Liberal Democrats? Sarah Bedford.
Thank you, Chairman. When I was first elected to this council just over 2 years ago, I was told very strongly that the divisional member should be the local champion for activities in their area. And very soon after that, I was told that there should be consultation with said local member before 106 funding was spent from their division. As a supporter of localism, would the Cabinet member agree that councillors should continue in this role of local champion, and that local input into the spending of Section 106 funding is vital to ensure that communities get the services that they need?
Theresa Heritage.
Yes.
Does that mean I can have an extra minute, Chairman?
No, you can't. Is there a supplementary?
Last year I was a little surprised to find that a six-figure sum was taken from my Section 106 funding for youth activities in Hemel Hempstead and South Oxley without my consent. I brought this up at the time and was told it would not happen again. However, I was slightly very angered to receive an email when I arrived back from holiday last month to be told, not requested, that a sum of money was going to be taken from 106 funding in order to pay for a part-time replacement to a bus service that had been cut by the administration in terms of the cuts that they have made to the bus subsidies. I was really quite angry to find that not only had this been taken without speaking to me first and publicised and press released, but that the executive member had decided to trumpet how wonderful it had been to be able to cut the subsidy without any effect on anyone else. As a champion of localism, will the executive member please ask her colleagues to ensure that this does not happen again and to ask if there are any other service areas where this has happened? Because to be quite honest, I'm very across.
Thank you, Sarah.
Thank you for that, Sarah. Yes, I'll look into that one.
Now, is there a question from the Labour member, Roma Mills?
Thank you, Chairman. My question relates to paragraph 5.3 on page 23, which is the unexpected and sudden sort of disturbing announcement from the Chancellor of potentially near cuts to public health spending, which I would guesstimate in Hertfordshire could amount to about £2 million. I note that the executive member speedily wrote to a trio of luminaries and wonder if there had been any response as yet.
Yes, I've actually received a response from Jane Ellison. Doesn't really say very much at the moment, but what I should say is that we're still awaiting a consultation on this. I haven't had time to read it, but I believe Simon Stevens actually was at a health committee at the House today making comments on it, but I haven't had a chance to hear what the Minister's got to say. So I'm still hopeful that this may not happen, or if it does happen, it won't be as to the full extent. But I do think going forward, we are going to have to look at perhaps ways with the new monies that have been promised to the NHS in the recent budget that we work with our CCGs to actually find some more money for prevention, which, as you know, is the main plank of Simon Stevens' five-year forward plan.
Thank you. Is there a supplementary? Yes, Roma.
Thank you, Chairman. As a supplementary, I mean, should it come to pass that we are required to find £2 million worth of savings or cuts in the Hertfordshire budget, would there be any aspects of public health that would be public health spending that would be ring-fenced? I think, for example, of school nurses or even health visitors.
We don't know yet what actually is being brought in. If this comes in, we don't actually know what it's going to affect. We don't know whether the funding that's coming over for health visitors is going to be affected or not. So I can't really give you a response. As soon as I know, I'll let everybody know. Thanks.
Thank you. Is there a question from the Conservative side? So we move on to questions to the Executive Member for Resources and Performance. Is there a question from the Liberal Democrats? Paul Zukowski.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The question I have is about the new Barnfield site and about the £12 million that the County Council have committed, at least £12 million, have committed in revenue and capital funding for that particular plan, which, in the light of the decision the other day, is clearly not likely to go ahead. And in light of the decision earlier on today to cut the Home Start funding, of course, which would, of course, have been paid for at least 15 years by that amount of money, is the executive member actually comfortable with what he's written in 5.1 of his report, that Hertfordshire residents continue to receive excellent value for money?
Thank you. Chris Hayward.
Thank you very much, Madam Chairman. Well, Paul,
Let me say straight away that in respect of 5.1, I wouldn't have written it if I didn't mean it. I am entirely satisfied that Hertfordshire residents overall receive excellent value for money in respect of services. Let me turn more specifically to your point, particularly on New Barnfield. The £12 million that I see you articulated in your little leaflet earlier today is not, of course, all wasted money at all. We still have a contract, we still have a process, and admittedly, we have lost the PFI credits element, but we do have an ongoing process and an ongoing contract. And, of course, we have to await the outcome. As has been pointed out by one of my other colleagues in the chamber this afternoon, we don't know what Veolia will do in the next 6 weeks and how much longer this might actually drag out. But the reassurances you've received from the Deputy Cabinet Member in that area in terms of the provision that we're able to make and the ongoing provision we're able to make should, I think, give some reassurance on that. So I don't see the £12 million as wasted in the way that you are portraying it, and I wouldn't link it in the convenient way that you have done with the Home Start funding. Surprise, surprise.
Thank you. Is there a supplementary?
Given that what the Council does and what the Administration does indicates its direction of travel and ethos, The expenditure of hundreds of millions, if not hundreds of thousands, if not millions of pounds, on legal fees that could have been spent to support something socially essential as Home Start raises the question in my mind as to whether the Administration really do have their head on straight.
Chris Hayward.
My head is on straight. We have a clear, defined strategy on this side of the chamber. We have a clear, a medium to long-term economic plan on this side of the chamber. We know where we're going, even if you're not sure where you're going. In respect of legal fees, the member knows as well as I know that legal fees are not spent entirely out of choice. They are spent out of necessity and have to be spent in order to fulfil a number of policies, strategies, initiatives that the administration takes. But we are entirely comfortable and confident in the direction of travel of this council.
Thank you. And before we move to a question from the Labour member, I just wanted to say I'm very mindful that it is warm in here. We've asked for the doors at the side to be open, and I understand the door at the back is open. I've asked if there's anything else that can be done to cool us down a little bit. But if any gentlemen were feeling that they needed to be properly dressed, I'm sure the ladies would be comfortable if they were to remove their jackets and possibly their ties. Now, a question from the Labour side. Is there any question for Chris Hayward? Joan King.
Thank you. It's a question really on Little First School site that I see from the Cabinet report that is going to be sold off for a residential home. Whilst I have no objection to the residential home, I actually welcome that. I think it will be good for that area because the school is derelict, obviously needs to be taken away. What does worry me, though, is the fact that there is also a proposal to sell part of the school grounds for housing, which is extra housing in the area. And in the report, it clearly says that there is no long-term plan or need for extra provision for primary school places. I just wondered if any account had been taken into the fact that there is also about 300 extra homes that will be there when Three Rivers finish their regeneration. Family homes with children, plus the 48 that you're proposing. And I just wondered, is there anywhere or any idea of...
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Joan. Chris Hayward.
Well, I'll try and pick up a few strands of that, Joan. I mean, the primary school places issue is not one for me. It's one you should be asking my education colleague. I'm not passing the buck to him. It's one for him to particularly deal with. I think the reprovisioning that we're talking about here is a very, very worthwhile initiative indeed. And I did ask at the time officers that local members had been consulted, and I was assured that they had been consulted. I hope you were consulted. If not... I'll certainly make sure you knew nothing about this initiative at all.
I knew about the care.
Right. Okay. Well, you should have been briefed fully on the proposals, and I apologise if that didn't take place.
Thank you. Joan, is there a supplementary?
Yes, please. I'll finish the question, which is why I came to you. Is I wanted an assurance that you will have two other sites free when they are amalgamated into this one care home. Could one of those sites be looked at for a future smaller primary school?
If there is a need and if there is an appropriate site, of course we will take that into account and of course we would consider it, of course.
Thank you very much. Are there any questions from the Conservative side to the Executive Member for Resources and Performance? Nope. In that case, an hour has not yet elapsed, so we go back, as it were, to the beginning, and we invite questions to the Leader of the Council. Malcolm Cowan from the Lib Dem side.
Thank you very much. Apologies, I wasn't here to ask the first time round. I obviously misunderstood when we were returning. So the question to the Leader, I turned up to the Cabinet meeting the other day to listen to the discussion on Home Start and was somewhat surprised to learn that nobody could ask a question without having given 5 days' notice. We are in the middle of a process now where we submit questions to all of your colleagues without any notice. Should not the Cabinet procedure be brought in line with this?
I refer the member to the answer that I gave to Leon earlier. I'm very happy to discuss these things through group leaders. My general approach on Cabinet business is that if the item has been taken through a Cabinet panel on its way to Cabinet, then that is where I expect opposition members to make their points, indeed petitioners or others, to be heard, and therefore I would need some considerable persuasion to take short notice questions at Cabinet. But as I say, I genuinely am open, as I hope Stephen and Leon will accept, to discuss ways in which we can make our business work better while still accepting that there is a majority which won't be cause too much inconvenience.
Thank you. Is there a supplementary? No. No supplementary, so we move to the Labour side. There are no questions. We ask the Conservative side, and there are no questions. Adult care and health, questions to the Executive Member. Is there a question from the Liberal Democrats? Is there a question from Labour? Is there a question from the Conservatives? We'll go all the way through and see how we get to. Questions to the Executive Member for Children's Services. Anything from the Liberal Democrats? Anything from Labour? Anything from the Conservatives? We're nearly done with the hour. This won't take us long. Any questions to the Executive Member for Community Safety and Waste Management? Yes, Paul Zukowski from the Lib Dems.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. In the report in the agenda pack, there is a comment that at the time of writing there's no detail regarding the redetermination. However, you're going to give a verbal update at its meeting on the 21st of July. Is there going to be a briefing, or was the very short comment at the start by Robert the only thing that we were going to hear on this?
I thought you were going to say Robert the Bruce. Current situation is that, as reported by the leader, that the actual decision's been made and it was updated accordingly with the report at the beginning of the meeting. Thank you.
Thank you. Paul, is there a supplementary?
That seems rather basic and really reporting back to Council via press release. Do you think that's really appropriate?
Yes.
Thank you for that. Now, I think it was Nigel Bell who indicated. Nigel, did I understand you wanted to ask a question as well?
Thank you, Chair. Can I also ask him that in his busy schedule, can he maybe get hold of the Police Commissioner when in his busy schedule, when he has time, and ask him about the buildings, for example, Magistrates Court. I know Watford Magistrates Court is on a list, and other buildings in the county that are in danger of closing. Can he actually ask the Police Commissioner if he knows of any other buildings, especially, or any other agencies, especially in Watford, that may be due to close?
Tony Hunter.
Thank you. David, are there any buildings that are going to close in Watford? Could you let me know? Thank you kindly, because I've got no idea.
Thank you. Right. Thank you very much. Is there a supplementary?
My supplementary is perhaps even more important. Clearly, the most important thing to ask the police commissioner is the future of the police station in Shady Lane in Watford. There's great concern amongst central Watford residents as well as the rest of Watford residents as to what might happen to Shady Lane. Can he guarantee that Shady Lane will stay open, or is there a plan to not only sell that building of where the Magistrates' Court is, but also the police station? Are we going to have a police station in Watford in the future?
Tony Hunter.
Thank you, Chairman. I never thought I'd be rising to talk about Shady Lane and a police station in Watford, but I will ask the question of the Police Commissioner. Thank you kindly.
Thank you. And I wonder whether there's a question from the Conservatives to Tony Hunter. Enterprise, education and skills. Is there a question from the Liberal Democrats? Is there a question from the Labour side? Anne Joins.
Is there any plan for using school buildings where the school has actually been closed but the building still stands?
Well, I don't know if you're referring to a particular site, but clearly the County Council has a portfolio of assets. Some of those have not been in use. They're managed by my colleague, the Resources Executive Member. We've seen the example recently where the Stevenage Education Support Centre has moved from one poor location to a very good location in what was a former school. So there's always the aspiration for the council to make the best possible use of its premises. But we do have a portfolio, and there are some properties which are not currently in use.
Thank you. So do you have a supplementary, Anne?
I just wondered, I'm thinking of Langleybury School in particular, the site there, the school building is still there. There's a severe pressure on secondary places because we get people in from London boroughs into Watford. And I understand people play war games there at the moment, and I would have thought bringing it back into use as a school would be more beneficial for the people in the area.
And I have to say I'm not familiar... I'm not familiar with the site. Obviously, I am familiar with the fact that one of the key planks of providing more school places in the Watford area is the new free school that's planned for Croxley Green. And the Prime Minister announced on, I think it was the 18th of March, that the St Clement Danes Trust had been successful in its bid to establish a new secondary school on that site, and indeed my colleague is working on the process of acquiring that site on behalf of the trust, but I'm not familiar with the particular site that she mentioned. If she wants to write, I'm more than happy to go away and find out what is planned for that site and how it might be used, it might be put to better use.
And I'm sure all members will be thrilled to know that the hour is finished. So thank you for your questions, thank you for your responses, and we move on to section 8.